4341 790. The number you call, you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. The Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. John Stout, technical operator, producer. Dennis Johnson, your host. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Right. This is the first time I'm calling the program.
Good. Good to have you. And I hope it's not the last day.
I'm calling because I'm very distressed. Why I'm distressed? I have a relative who is in severe pain. She's due to have surgery. She couldn't get it done at the hospital. She managed to raise enough funds to have it done privately. Now, she can't have the surgery until she has a negative COVID test. Mm-hmm. She went for this test a few days ago. It was written on the sample category 1, which you know is now priority category. She's waiting, can't get the results. So, of course, she can't have the surgery. The hospital has been paid for. The surgeon has been paid. The anesthetist has been paid. And now what happens? I really don't know what is going on here. Because I thought if something is priority one, and they said a couple of weeks ago that anybody who is due for surgery, the police, frontline workers, they are all on category one. But waiting for a test result now for close to a week. And the surgery is due, like, in a day or two. I don't know, Mr. Johnson. I know that you can't help me, but I just want Barbados to know what is happening to us.
Ma'am, I don't know either. I really would like to believe that if things are flagged for a specific reason, that there is a method of communication, that word, that says when you have the result, it is communicated urgently to all the parties involved. So if she's going to place X to have the surgery done, in addition to her receiving the information, place X where she's going to have the surgery done, also gets a note for their files so that when she turns up and says, yes, I am cleared, they don't say, you know, this is fake. You make it up yourself, because they have confirmation themselves from a trustworthy source. We talk about dealing with this in the new environment and online services. We need to make sure that it works.
Well, nobody has received anything. The surgeon hasn't heard anything. The place where she's to have the surgery hasn't heard anything. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I am distressed.
Yeah, that is not the perfect mindset for anyone who is
preparing for surgery
or attending to someone who is, because the anxiety will be transmitted to the other person if it is another person. Yes,
exactly. I know you can't do anything, but I just want to make it known what is happening. And thanks very much for listening, Mr.
Ma'am.
Johnson.
Thanks for airing it. I hope it brings the required result. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello?
How are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, Nasa, how are you?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
I'm quiet too, man. I listen to your program today all the time for a particular reason. I know that the country is in crisis and everybody is trying their best, but there are few people in Barbados who have the strength to speak in a way that even if people don't like it, they can't deny that it's the truth. And that's why I decided to listen to your program all today. Now, before I talk to you about what I would like to speak to you about, which is something to do with fear, I read a book about sugar flying from New York to Barbados on BV years ago. And it said that the sugar, the brown sugar that we make here in Barbados or make in the Caribbean, that it has no effect on people, on human beings. It don't hurt you. It don't do anything to you. And nor does it rot your teeth. It said that the refined sugar that really creates the problem. That is one, right? No, two. I went to Australia, Sydney, Australia, years ago, because of some important things that came out there. And wherever I go, people start to treat me unusually good. And I came by here and said, I believe Australia is the best place that I ever been. You understand why that was so? Let me tell you what was so, Mr. Johnson. Wherever I go, the people are probably know that I'm not living there. They say, where are you from? I say, from Barbados. You from Barbados? Yeah. You know Sir Gary Sobers? Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. Dinner free, Mr. Johnson. You hear what I say? No? They say that's all? I go to other places now, and people hear me and say, somebody, you know Sir Gary Sobers? Yes, I do. He's my friend of mine. And people started to tighten up on the seat so I could get room. That event to Sydney Cricket Ground. I just want people to understand the seriousness of what we're doing in this country, you know. Then I went to Sydney Cricket Ground, and I go on myself, my daughter, her husband. We go on to pay. I go on to pay for the tickets. And the lady said, you live in Australia? I said, no, I'm from Barbados. She said, do you know Sir Gary Sobers? I said, yes, I know. He's a good friend of mine. She said, how many people are with you? I said, two. She said, we three all go on. And then send someone to put me in the best seat that's available, Mr. Johnson. Maybe that's a joke.
No, I just wish you would stop using Sir Gary name to get freeness.
I like that. No, it's serious, huh?
No.
And now, I really want to talk to you, Mr. Johnson, about is fear. You know, this idea that we are in a crisis now, and all of us are trying to help each other. The whites trying to help the blacks trying to help the whites, the Indians trying to help the blacks and the whites, everybody trying to help everybody, because we know that if one mistake is seriously made and we got a lot that danger, that all of us gone, white, black, Indian, anybody in here gone. So we know that. Now you're asking the question, Mr. Johnson. Is this not the best time to work out this thing called fear amongst our people? It is better to take a risk now than to always live in fear. And Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Here's the time now, Mr. Johnson, where I think that businesses should sit with their workers, since we're all in crisis, since we all need each other, since the private sector is afraid that there's any more shutdown now, there's going to be more layoffs and more problems for them. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's time now that we sit as a race of people, a group of people in this country, and analyze how we can bring some balance to this country that everybody can continue to assist each other, that workers become shareholders in some of these businesses, and that we really look out for each other. Whether you're Chinese, Jew, Indian, black, white, I believe that, I sorry for the coronavirus, because I am afraid too. I don't going to go, you know. So I worry about the coronavirus too. But Mr. Johnson, they could get it from an Indian, from a white man, or from a Jew, or from a black man. So all of us need each other now. Is it not time that we start to analyze how we can, after this coronavirus, really involve our workers and our other people into one, so that we can share and have a better country, that we all will make sacrifice collectively. So I want to say one thing here quick, and then if you care to comment, you can. And this is it. The greatest hazard in life is to fear nothing. The greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. Because the person who risks nothing, accomplishes nothing, has nothing, feels nothing, and in the end becomes nothing. Don't be afraid to take calculated risks. Risk is essential for growth in every area of life. So I call in on all Barbadian people to let us sit down now and take some calculated risks and improve the quality of life for every one of us, the workers, the owners, and everybody. And I believe that we can set an example for the world. Stop believing that you own these things. You do not own them. You, along with your workers, own these things, but you get all. And I believe, Mr. Johnson, that something now should be looked at to see if we could, because of this unfortunate coronavirus, we cannot bring ourselves to people as a nation and not as individuals living in Barbados. What's your opinion, Mr. Johnson?
So my opinion is when we are in crisis, we turn to each other for help and we lean on each other for help.
True.
The minute the crisis is abated, we go back to our basis instinct. If, and unfortunately, I am not, fortunately, this has never happened to us. Yeah. And sometimes the misfortune of seeing what it does may be a lesson for us if we ever saw it with our naked eye. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
We've never had devastating hurricanes. If we had to go into places like Dominica after the hurricanes there, or if we had to go into Grenada after Ivan, if we had to go into Jamaica after Gilbert, if we saw the earthquake in Haiti, you would realize that when a crisis like that hits, everybody, but everybody bands together. So rather than have a supermarket broken open, supermarket owners will open the supermarket and say, let's share what we have in here before it expires and all of us starve. You will see a different type of person, but once the threat is gone, then the shareholders, unfortunately, they are not the white group that you would like, begin to say, let's recoup our losses, and we go back to what was there before. The challenge for us is this thing called risk. We do not, as a people, and again, some people trace it to slavery, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We are afraid of risk because our ancestors risked, some of them, risked leaving Africa on their own to come across to what they were told was a better life. When the rest were dragged over, they saw the experience and they say, you see me, I ain't risking nothing again. It's in the blood, apparently. Apparently, we can't get it out. And when I say the things I say, people tell me, oh, your grandmother was a Carib, so you accustomed to boat and things, so it ain't matter to you. You just jump on your boat and go from island to island. My people get dragged here, and we can't live with this. Perhaps it's their experience. We should talk about it some more, though. 434-1790. The number you call for the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 266-4862, that's our WhatsApp number. And you can send a message there, please, not a voice message. We can only read the messages on WhatsApp, sitting where I am. Good afternoon.
Is it on, sir?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I am doing all right, sir. And you?
Not too bad, you know.
Good.
But there's two things I want to discuss here.
All right.
Yesterday, the people from the university came in my area.
Oh, those who are doing the checks,
They're doing the same board for my gas lock. I could have seen them on my cameras, but they didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if by saying the gas lock mean that I'm refusing them, but I refuse what I want them
to. Or they mean that nobody home. I know. Well, I don't know.
My two doors were open.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Nobody called or said anything, but I could have seen them.
So why didn't go out to them?
I don't know. If they had come to the gate or showed, I think I would have.
You have cameras. You have a buzzer on the gate? No?
I got a buzzer on the gate, but I can see whatever going up on you.
Fair enough. I don't know. You know, all right. The truth is, and this is a serious comment, as most of my comments I try to be. I am not sure what approach is being taken by those who are coming to do the checks. If you have someone who, like in your case, will have a gate that's locked and there's some distance between the gate and the house, even if the walk is, let's say, I don't know, a yard?
About 12 feet.
12 feet, okay, good, right, good. If you don't have a bell for them to ring, I don't know what they do. Pound on the gate, shout hello to the house. I don't know. I don't know what they are required to do because I know people who their house is right close to the gate. So, you know, if the door open, if you stand by the door and just say hello, they can hear you. But if you have some distance and the person in the back, you may not hear them. I don't know if they're allowed to shout, especially if they're wearing masks. And those that I saw were, I don't know how they reached the house. That's the truth.
Okay, but that was only one. But my main mm-hmm. reason for calling, Dennis, mm-hmm. I had 3 days of you on last week. Oh, my God. I will hope in your retirement.
But those 3 days seem to rattle a lot of people, boy.
Listen, I will hope in your retirement, the NCF, can get a little pick.
Oh, God.
Training some DJs.
Doing what?
To the game, learning to play music and selection of music.
Sir.
And to the game, a piece of song now and joking in another beat.
Sir.
And this sort of thing.
The public does not want that.
Huh?
The public don't want that. The public have grown up on 90 seconds of music, shout. You ever look or listen to it? 30 seconds of a song, scream a lot, talk over it, another 30 seconds, and the whole crowd goes wild. So if you have a fete, whether it's for 50 people or 100 people or 1,000 people, and you getting them to react to that, they don't want anything else?
Well, they don't. I'm sorry, they're going to give you a week.
Because unfortunately, sir, we have made radio just that. And if people's attention span is 90 seconds or 30 seconds of a song, they can't listen to a whole song. So what I do is boring. They can't handle it.
Boring for
who? This is not what they want.
Boring for who?
For those who pay the bills, sir. That's the truth. So why you think I'm not on radio? If what I did was so attractive to the advertiser, I would still be on radio.
Oh, I just still hear advertising things and I still hear
I know, because the advertiser is paying me.
Randolph got it before me and stole my... I held on just to compliment you on the music that you played those 3 days.
So I thank you.
It was marvelous.
I thank you, sir.
Thanks very much.
Sir, I thank you very much. Look, radio is about attracting audience, okay? And the audience today, if you listen to the commercials, if you listen to the music, if you listen to the way DJs operate, it is 90 seconds of the song, talk, 90 seconds of the song. That's what the public calls entertainment. There are people who listen to Brass Tacks and who talk to me off the record sometimes. And some of them say they listen to the program for its content. But a majority of them say they listen to the program for entertainment. There's laugh when they hear that person. There's laugh when they hear that body. When I say something and lose my cool, they laugh. So there are people who listen to Brass Tacks to laugh. That's what they do. It's entertainment. So if you have someone who wants to engage in a level higher than what they consider to be entertainment, they say, this program boring, I go in and listen to something else. And people, advertisers pay for what they think the public wants. That's the nature of the beast. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. There are two questions that people keep asking that I got to raise, apparently, because I don't know the answer and I can't help them. One, will Western Union offices be reopening when the commercial banks reopen? I presume, but I don't know that for a fact. And the second question, again, I ask is if the post office can open on Friday for people to cash their checks. Can't answer that question either. I don't know. How do I put this? Communicate with the public by the means available, GIS, WhatsApp, Blast, online, and so on.